Welcome to the Sunbird Sports Show with Paul Meadors, brought to you by Fresno Pacific University on 790 ESPN.
Yes, welcome to the Sunbird Sports Show on 790 ESPN. I am your host, Paul Meadors, live here at the 1430 ESPN studio on Palm Avenue in Fresno, California, right across from Bullard High School. If you are unfamiliar with the show, if you are a casual listener, or you happen to be driving around right now and listening to sports radio, or if you are a dedicated listener as well, thank you guys. Really appreciate you. We do this for not only the student athletes, for them to have a good time here and share their stories at Fresno Pacific University, but we do it for you as well. Lots of wonderful things are happening at FPU, and we are happy to bring you all the action and hear stories individually from the athletes as well. Every Wednesday from 6 to 7, we do the show here, like I mentioned, at the studio. But if you happen to listen to a few episodes or one or two, you know where to find them as well. You can go back to YouTube. It's being broadcasted on YouTube, so it's going to be there forever. You could go to Spotify as well, or Apple, wherever you find your podcasts. I listen to a lot of podcasts myself, and it's always fun to hit the button and refresh it and see what podcasts pop up. So we hope that the Sunbird Sports Show is one of those podcasts and one of those shows for you that you're interested in listening to all the wonderful stories, and we are happy to bring them to you. Believe it or not, guys, baseball is in the air. Baseball is here. I know the pros, Major League Baseball, spring training is going to be here pretty quick, right, at the end of the month. But Fresno Pacific University baseball season is going to start quickly. How quickly? Well, tomorrow they leave for a four-game road trip. They're going to be playing at Cal State Dominguez Hills. They have a doubleheader as well. And then February 5th, they open up at home against Western Oregon University. It is the first full year of Dan Martin Stadium, that wonderful stadium that Fresno Pacific University is extremely proud of. They're going to be playing Western Oregon University. Their schedule is a fun one. Let me click on it here. Let's see here. Get off of that. So there it is. Yeah, games at 11 o'clock on Thursday. Actually, 5 o'clock on Thursday. Friday is 2 o'clock. That's the doubleheader that I mentioned. 2 o'clock and 5 o'clock. And then Saturday is going to be a morning game at 11 o'clock. Again, if you haven't checked out that stadium, what a perfect opportunity to. There's over 700 fully covered seats, full ADA accessibility. The press box is phenomenal. I know. I've been up there. It's great. Concession stand, merchandise, indoor bathrooms, state-of-the-art clubhouse that we're going to get into when we talk to the players and coach Oscar Hirschhorn, who is a friend of the show. I've known Oscar for quite a few years. He is the one and only coach at Fresno Pacific University. He is here tonight for both segments. I'm going to be hearing from TJ Smith, Chris Clement, Daryl Dilworth, and Aaron Martinez. Baseball, I got to be honest. Baseball is my sport. It's the sport that I know the most. I played baseball in high school. I coached high school baseball at my alma mater. Like I said, I've known Coach Hirschhorn for a long time. He actually played at the same time that my brother did in the Central Valley. I followed his career with great interest. He's a great guy. I love having him on the show. So we're going to hear from him and all the great things that are going on with the Fresno Pacific University baseball program. Like I do every show, I have a recap of things that went on at Fresno Pacific University Athletics. It's kind of a light week last week of competition. On Thursday, the women's water polo team traveled up to Stockton to take on the 19th-ranked Pacific. They lost 23-6 to the D1 Tigers, senior Reagan Acevedo, and Buchanan local Maggie Cook both accounted for a pair of goals in the match, with Acevedo earning Raising Cane's Sunbird of the Week honors. Friday, women's tennis took on D1 crosstown foe Fresno State at the Fig Garden Swim and Racquet Club. The Lady Birds fell 7-0, still earning some solid early season experience, taking 3 of 6 singles matches into a third set. Another highlight included a doubles win from Birds' top pair of freshmen, Fabiana Gonzalez and junior Yume Uoku. Saturday, each of the winter sports took an opponent on the road. Men's and women's swim competed in a dual meet against D1 UNLV and had a solid showing. Competing in some unorthodox event distances, event winners include freshman Santiago Shute in the 75-yard free. Women's and men's basketball took on Menlo on the same day, with the women falling 80-59 despite San Joaquin Memorial local Sienna Evans dropping 22 points on the day. The men defeated the Oaks 70-66 with 13 steals, taking notes from their last matchup against Jessup. Brandon Gibson Jr. worked well for the Birds across the board. And in an earlier game last week against Jessup, he dropped a career-high 21 points to earn Raising Cane's Sunbird of the Week. Even as we got into the air just a few minutes ago, Stunt, they've been on the show a couple times. Fantastic brand new sport at Fresno Pacific University. They are hosting a mock competition on campus at the Special Event Center, which is open to the public with free admission. All right, we're going to take a break right now. We're going to bring on a couple players from the FPU program, including Coach Hirschgren. We got Daryl Dilworth coming on and Aaron Martinez. You're listening to the Sunbird Sports Show on 790 ESPN.
Now, welcome back to the Sunbird Sports Show with Paul Metters on 790 ESPN.
All right, welcome back to the Sunbird Sports Show. We got baseball here in the studio. I want to make sure I got this right, because I think I got a little confused in my opener. The page wasn't loading right as far as the schedule for Fresno Pacific University. So I want to make sure I get this right. We are going to talk about these games. So they're traveling tomorrow. They're playing Cal State Dominguez Hills in back-to-back doubleheaders, Friday at 11 and 2, Saturday at 11 and 2, and then home Western Oregon on Thursday, Friday. Friday, there's the doubleheader, and then Saturday at 11. I just want to make sure I got that correct. I don't want to lead you guys astray. Mm-hmm. So thank you guys for coming in. It's baseball season is here. I got Daryl Dilworth and Aaron Martinez, baseball players at FBU, and Coach Oscar Hirschhorn. So how you guys doing?
Doing great. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
So you guys went through a little practice?
Yes.
Yep. Like what went on today at practice? Aaron, what did you guys work on today?
We did individual defense, and then we got into some first and thirds, and then PFPs, and then batting practice. It went smooth. It was pretty good.
All right. Mm-hmm. Daryl, what about you? What did you guys work on?
Same thing. We kind of went through our everyday practice where we do like individual defense. So outfielders will run our drills, doing like our routes, and then fly balls, communication. And then when the infielders and pitchers did the first and thirds and everything, we ran and then BP. So pretty short practice, little good tune-up before we go out on the road. So, yeah.
Coach Hirschhorn, just kind of lead us up into the preparation. I went over the schedule. You guys thrown into the fire pretty quick here. Just inter squads and, you know, full practices. What does that look like for you guys over the last couple months?
Yeah. This year was a challenge once we got back in January, because we came back first day of school was January 12th. And that only gave us, I believe it was 17 practices before we travel. So we had 2 weekends. So we're telling the guys all through that month of December, we've got to show up in shape because we have to inter squad that first Friday, Saturday when we come back. And then, so we had that weekend, and then same thing, we inter squatted the last Friday, Saturday, and tried to start to extend certain pitchers so they can build up. But yeah, everybody did a good job coming back in shape. And then, you know, you kind of work backwards from those inter squads. So, okay, we want our inter squads when we come back to be as close to a spring game that counts as possible. So we have to put in the first and thirds, bunt D's, our picks, all the things that can get a little dry,
yeah,
but like, hey,
exactly.
But you need it so you can compete. and then like the guys said just now, we just did a little tune up, wanted today to be quick, smooth, and we travel tomorrow and open up Friday.
How anxious are you guys to get on the baseball field and make it count, right? Are you guys get a little sick of inter squads? Because, I don't know, you're going against live BP, right? Your own guys. But how excited you guys are to step on the field and play for reals?
Pretty excited. After last year, you know, kind of left a bad taste in our mouth. But, I mean, the whole fall, I feel like we had a pretty good fall. So, you know, coming in these first four inter squads, they went well, and just anxious to get going as a whole group together against someone else.
So. Yeah, Daryl, what about for you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited to go into this year, you know, have some fun with the guys. I think we built a great culture this year, you know, just having fun each and every day, going out smiling, cracking jokes and competing also and still locking in when we need to. So even though the inner squads kind of get old in the same way, it's like we're having fun and we're talking mess and everything. So I think it was fun kind of going into these last 2 weeks.
That's great. So Oscar, before we get into both these guys' journeys and what they're going to bring on the field this year, really excited to hear their story. Just give us just a snapshot preview of this year's team. Like, you know, Aaron mentioned, man, you know, last year didn't end like we want. Couldn't wait to get back on the field this year. But what are you looking forward to this year with this squad?
I'm just really excited about these guys. I think we have a really good mix. Like Daryl said, our culture has been great. And I think it took 10 giant steps forward with that. And we have a great mix of older guys and younger guys. We brought in quite a few new guys, so it's a very different team, and yet at the same time the guys we return are going to play a big part in what we do. So it's just like this great mix. And then I think another big factor, and these guys can correct me if I'm wrong, but this is our first full year in the new facility, the clubhouse, you know, and getting just having a locker room culture. We've never had that before, so this was our first fall kind of building that foundation and everything. And I think identity wise with our team, I think our defense is great with a chance of being elite. I think we're exceptional all the way around. Pitching wise, we've taken a major step forward. We have depth. We didn't have a lot of depth last year, and these guys can attest to it. We had some good arms, just the depth caught us a little bit here and there with some injuries and other things. And this year we just have so many different looks, and so many guys have worked so hard with our great pitching coach, Sid Lacey, and then his crew. I mean, Jalen Rodriguez, our coach, assists Sid with the pitching. And then we have a new analytics department with Matt Clifton and Derek Hernandez, who have been a great addition, utilizing the TrackMan and our camera system and all that. So it just feels like a brand new program, and these guys have been the beneficiaries of it. But the work that they've put in, it's just all been building and constructing. It's just exciting to see. And I'm really glad, honestly, it's been a shorter January so we could just get into games, because these guys are ready.
And it sounds like it. And you know, the thought that was going through my mind when you were telling me all that, Oscar, is last year probably felt, at least tell me if I'm wrong, a little choppy in the sense of, right, the new stadium and the pomp and circumstance, which was awesome, incredible, but maybe didn't have a lot of flow to the year. And then all of a sudden you're like, man, we're in the conference tournament already and season's over. Like, what kind of happened? I don't know. Just, I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Yeah, no, I think you hit the nail on the head. And I think, too, these guys did a great job at handling it. And last year's team, you know, to defend them a little bit, even though, you know, we've acknowledged what we've acknowledged here. You know, the plan was for them to be in the clubhouse in the fall, and just, you know, the way construction goes, it just kept getting delayed. And then we would say, okay, a new date. And then that wouldn't happen. And so to be fair to last year's group, it was so choppy, as you said, but there were some real reasons why. And then, you know, a couple injuries here, this happens, that happens, and the next thing you know, you're at the end of the year, and it just didn't go the way we wanted it to go.
And for you guys, this year kind of a reset? Do you feel like that? Like, hey, we got a full year. I know you guys play baseball before Fresno Pacific at other places, but is that kind of the feeling you got, Daryl? Like, hey, this is just, you know, you arrived on campus on whatever, late August, did your classes, did your workouts, and now January's here and you're ready to play ball.
Yeah, definitely. Like Coach has said, you know, now that we have the locker room, we have the stands and everything, it kind of allows us to build a certain culture around that. Also, whether that's, you know, how we approach, you know, cleaning up the locker room, or, you know, being able to change in there and have, you know, like our little mini parties when we have the speaker playing music, or even watching TV. Like the other day, we came in early and we're watching like YouTube golf or whatever it is on the TV. So, you know, allowing that like cultivation of our culture in the locker room has helped us not only be better like outside of the field, but on the field too, which takes care of the baseball thing. Definitely.
No more getting dressed for games in the parking lot like we've talked about in the past, Coach.
Those days are gone.
Aaron, so you transferred from Modesto. Yes. Had a great season last year. Is that kind of how you feel too? Kind of those same sentiments of like, hey, all right, I feel comfortable with the school. I know how the ballpark plays, right? I know my teammates a little bit better. I'm ready to step in the batter's box.
Yes, for sure. Especially coming to this year after last year, you know, I was happy with the year, but obviously I want to have more team success. So, I mean, I'm happy with the guys that we have now. Having the clubhouse, like Daryl mentioned, you know, just spending that extra time with the guys is pretty big. And, you know, I feel like it's bringing us closer, you know, getting to the year. And I think that's why a lot of us are anxious to get going.
Chemistry, all that good stuff. Yeah, absolutely. It makes the season fun. Absolutely. Oscar, talk about these guys individually. You mentioned the team, you know, pitching out a little more depth and whatnot, but these guys are they're primed for really good years this year. What they bring to the field.
Well, yeah, start with Aaron. Aaron absolutely got robbed last year. It's one of the most enraging things I've dealt with in terms of individual awards. There was something happened with the conference and the nomination stuff, and he put it together a phenomenal year, and he should have been awarded with an all-conference team, one of the teams for sure. And it just, he never brings it up, but for me, I just have to defend him here on air publicly. Like he was phenomenal. I thought he was the best third baseman in the conference. So, and then as good as he was last year, he's been that much better, I feel like, this fall. He's just a great hitter, but taking steps. I mean, he was a great defender too last year for us, but he's taken even more steps forward with that. And we have a phenomenal infield coach, Carlin Andrews, and Aaron works with him every day, and you can tell. So, and he's one of our team leaders and just sets an example with his work ethic and the way he rages. And as you can tell, he hardly blinks even talking to you. That's how he plays, you know? And then Daryl is an unbelievable player, and he's going to be in center field for us. It seems like he can cover foul line to foul line out there. And he's been unbelievable this fall with his hitting. And we've talked quite a bit about, just the adjustments that he's made, but just seeing him play with joy and a smile on his face. Mm-hmm. And it's just translated to the field, and he just seems more relaxed and very in control of every move that he's making and the goals he has in the batter's box. And you can just see the confidence grow. It's grown as the fall has gone on and through January for sure. And whenever he wants to, he can put a bunt down, but he can leave the yard anywhere, split the gaps, infield singles, bunts. It's just is a very, both these guys, very complete players.
Daryl, you got a comp to yourself, like a Major League Baseball comp? Or you got somebody that you like to compare yourself to?
I mean, TJ calls me Byron Buxton every day. Right, so I guess so you can go with that one.
I like that. Yeah. Yeah, do a little bit of everything. Run into a home run, mm-hmm. rob somebody of a home run. Yeah. I'm going to talk about that in just a second. Aaron, what about for you? Like playing the hot corner, playing third base? Like you got some favorite dudes you like to watch?
I like watching a lot of Matt Chapman, especially when he's with the A's. Mm. But a lot of Arenado as well.
All right.
But those are the main two guys I enjoy watching play third.
Those guys can hit a little bit, but mm-hmm. maybe you think about those guys. Those are guys that can pick it over there, right? Sure, make every type of throw. Sure. All right. So, Daryl, I got here in the notes that you made some, I think I heard about this last year, some incredible catch to save a game.
Yeah.
Right? It was against Point Loma?
Yes, sir.
All right. Walk me through the situation and put us there and what's going through your mind.
So it's actually a pretty funny story. So I had got put in, I think, in the seventh inning in right field. And kind of to give like a little backstory, back in high school I had robbed a home run and it got recorded with this news. I think it's like Psych High, West Sports. And one of the announcers, when I robbed it, they said, Daryl. So as I walked out to right field, one of the catchers that were in the bullpen started saying that. They started saying, Daryl. And then next thing you know, I think we had two outs. It was the ball hit and, you know, just went up and grabbed it, and we ended up winning the game. So,
was that the final out?
Yes, it was.
End of the game. Yeah.
To win.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then, like, if it would have fell or would have gone over, right,
they would have won the series.
Either they win if he doesn't catch it, or and we won because he caught it. Yeah, yeah. That's how impactful that catch was.
So you're in right field. It was hitting right center, or was it directly behind you? Talk about the angle and what's going through your mind when you're chasing it.
I mean, we were kind of treating it as like we weren't BP. We were messing around trying to rob home runs that were going out because they had a short porch. So I knew since it was about 230 to right field, we're playing on the Warner track, right? So it's like if it's behind you, you're at the wall, you know, you got to jump for it and go get it. And so that was kind of the whole mindset. And as soon as it got hit, I was like, okay, I have to find the wall, and jumped up and caught it. And at first I was looked at my glove and I was like, oh, I caught it. And then, you know, everybody went crazy. So it was a dope experience for sure.
So that celebration was pretty cool. Who jumped on you first? Like, was there a dog pile, or you just like,
oh yeah, no, Trent Maloney. Yeah, Trent Maloney. He jumped on me. He was probably more excited than I was, but yeah, everybody, they had a good time with that. And you know, everybody was hyped up after that one.
That's
for
cool.
Sure.
That's cool. Aaron, last year, like what was like a really cool moment, or what was like the biggest bomb you hit? Like, just kind of walk me through maybe something big that happened for you last year that stands out.
I feel like I hit one in Point Loma, but I feel like the moment that I felt pretty good about was in Hilo. Mm-hmm. When I hit a triple to clear the bases. That felt pretty good because it was kind of one of those games where we won the game before, but it was like hard to score runs. So I found like it kind of opened up the game a little bit to kind of get us some momentum going. And then we ended up sweeping that series. So I feel like that.
You're a right-handed hitter?
Yes.
You gap it right center?
I hit it down the line right field.
Down the line right field.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, Aaron has, like, he has this smooth swing, and you really, you almost sometimes, Daryl, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's like, it's an aggressive swing, but he just keeps the same move every time. And so you don't sometimes realize, like, how much that ball is going to jump off his bat the way it does. Mm-hmm. And it's foul line to foul line. It's pretty unique.
Controlled aggression, if you will.
Controlled aggression.
Controlled aggression.
Controlled rage, maybe, huh? Yeah, I think maybe. Talk about that locker room. So we mentioned it a bit. You talked about how it's, you know, you're walking in, you're watching YouTube, you're watching whatever's on the right, sports related. Mm-hmm. Just how cool is that, and just go maybe a little bit more in depth of how it brings you together.
Yeah, definitely. So first off, I would say that our facilities are just as good or even better than some D1 programs, especially our locker rooms. And, you know, back then, because when we had first came in, we were changing in the parking lot. So being able to have that locker room, you know, seeing our name tag on it, having our own lock with our chargers inside, and, you know, having showers and whatever it is that's in there too, it's real nice to be able to feel like you're in college baseball, you're in a professional setting, and that you can go in there and, you know, do what you need to do and be a professional, which I feel like, even though we're not there yet, you know, you kind of have that environment, and it rubs off on how we play and how we kind of approach the game each and every day.
Aaron, who controls the music? Is there somebody that right? Like, is that a thing?
Yeah, for sure. I would say Gabe Henderson. He's always on the.
Yeah, he is.
He sent a message to the group the other day, actually, to our group chat, saying that there's a new rule. There has to be music on every single time we're in the locker, so we make sure when we're in there, there's music playing. Because if he's not in there, it'll be kind of someone random. But when he's in there, it's most of the time.
Okay, and you guys agree with it? You're cool with it?
Oh yeah, for sure.
All right, he's got good taste.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh yeah.
What do you think? Everywhere. Coach's taste would be if he was in charge of the radio. What do you think?
Well, like I kind of know country he likes, or what? I know what he kind of likes a little 90s hip hop, Tupac. A little reggae, yeah, for sure.
You wouldn't be mad at that.
I'm all over the map, Paul. All over the map. But I think that the music in the locker room is surprisingly like varied. Don't you think?
Yeah.
There's it's all kinds. It's good mixes in there. They do a good job.
And then on the field, though, too, right? It's still piped in?
Same.
Right? Same?
Yeah,
same
we have a new sound system there. And I would say with that one, that's been a lot of Garrett Perkins on that.
On that mix
right there. Yeah, he's done a good job with those playlists.
He's a Kingsburg kid, too, right?
Yeah, he is.
Kingsburg kid. All right. Hey, guys, told you that segment would go by fast. Yeah. Good info, man. We didn't really get into your stories about how you guys arrived, but you guys are in a good place. All right, I'm excited for you to see what you guys can do on the field as well. Enjoy the moment, because just like the school year is going by fast, and before you know it, you're going to blink, it's going to be the end of the year. So, hey, thanks for coming on and talking Fresno Pacific University baseball. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
All right, we're going to take a break here. We're going to bring on a couple more players as well. You're listening to the Sunbird Sports Show on 790 ESPN.
And now, the Sunbird Sports Show on 790 ESPN.
All right, welcome back to the Sunbird Sports Show. You're listening to it on 790 ESPN. And I want to remind everybody, if you miss part of the show, want to go back and listen, or you want to go back and listen to all the other episodes of the Sunbird Sports Show, you can do it on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or even YouTube as well. We've got a lot of great episodes. Heck, last week's episode was really fun, talking men's and women's track and field. But today we got, or tonight I should say, we have baseball in the house right now. We got TJ Smith and Chris Clement, part of the Fresno Pacific University baseball program, along with Coach Oscar Horshkorn as well. Let's talk a little bit about off air, just a little bit about high school days and what it was like in the good old days, right? Reminiscing a bit. And we talked, you know, growing up and playing baseball. I want to ask TJ first, like growing up, was baseball like your first love? Like, did you play any soccer or anything like that? And when did you like go pure baseball?
So I actually started off as a soccer player. But my family is very big baseball family, so I ended up switching. I played soccer till I was like 7. I also played baseball, t-ball, but nothing competitive. But then when I hit around like 8 or 9, I switched to straight, just travel ball. No soccer or anything, just baseball from 9 all the way until 18. No other sports or anything, just straight baseball.
And where'd you grow up again?
Sacramento, California.
Sacramento area. It says here, 6 siblings?
Yeah.
Where are you in the pecking order with brothers and sisters?
I'm the second oldest.
Second oldest. So what was it like growing up with one older and then four younger?
It was fun. I'm a big family guy, so it's nice to come home and you got 3 people that are willing to go outside and go hang out with you or go do something. So I love having my siblings.
Competitive family or not?
I'd say no.
No.
siblings aren't really big on sports. They've been big into arts and dancing and singing. So it's cool, though. It's a big variety that I'm not used to.
That's awesome. Chris, what about for you? Growing up in Hanford, California?
Yep.
Right? Hanford High. You're a bull pup. So what sports were you checking out when you were younger there in Hanford, and when did you really commit to baseball?
Yeah. So growing up, I was a soccer kid just like TJ. Also a basketball kid. Honestly, that was my first love. When it came to a sport, basketball. But I would say around middle school, 6th grade is when I stopped playing both of those sports and kind of took baseball a little more serious. And like TJ said too, that's when travel ball kind of took off for me. Love just, you know, going to the hotels, swimming in the pools and all that stuff. So I would say around that time is when baseball came pretty serious for me.
Your parents spending a lot of money on hotels and equipment and all that as well. So Hanford High, what are some big games or some big rivalries? We talked a little bit about your league matchups, right? Playing against the Tulare schools, obviously Redwood High was a power. Like what games were you really amped up for?
Yeah, no, speaking about Redwood, we played them in Rawhide Stadium. We got to play there twice, but one game, it was really nice. I think the game started around like 7 o'clock. We had went into extra innings. Lights were shining and all this stuff. And one of my best friends actually came up. We were down one run. I think it was runners on first and second or something like that. And he happened to hit a walk-off, basic clearing double to bring in both runs. That's one moment I'll never forget. So it was pretty special.
Talk about your journey, Chris, to Fresno Pacific. So straight, no junior college or schools before FPU. When did you first hear about the school, and how did the coaching staff recruit you and your commitment?
Yeah, no. So one of my cousins actually played with one of our older coaches, and that's honestly how I got a hold of Fresno Pacific. And then I got Coach Hirschkorn's number, got in touch with him. But I would say that you know, I just wanted, when it came to high school, I wanted to be close to home. I just wanted a spot to play ball. You know, I love this game. I wanted to continue playing it. But ever since that, you know, meeting my first visit with Coach Hirschkorn,
walking around the campus, seeing the environment, you know, it being close to home, I just knew it was the right fit from that first visit.
And that's new stadium and all the upgrades that we talked about last segment doesn't hurt. That's for sure. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Superior Dairy Ice Cream, is that a big staple there?
That's the number one spot in Hanford.
It
Banana
is.
Banana ice cream. That's my go-to.
Awesome.
Yep.
TJ, what about for you? Your road to Fresno Pacific, a little bit different. Hawaii Pacific, got that right before the 2025 season. Had a little bit of injury bug last year, but just kind of talk about your journey from the Sacramento area to Hawaii, now to back to California.
Yeah, so it kind of all started out of high school. I went to Sac State, so then things didn't play out the way I thought it would there. So then I went to Hawaii Pacific, and they blessed me with the opportunity to play as a freshman, and then got to do that for 3 years. I actually got to live out there and go play, and then it was just time for a change of scenery, try the transfer portal out, just like everyone else was, and then got to talk to Coach Hirschkorn, and it seemed like a great fit being close to home and the new stadium, the new driveline, and being from the Hawaii schools, you don't get that luxury to have nice facilities and stuff. We don't even have our own field, so being able to see that there was a locker room being into play and stuff is just a big thing of my recruitment that brought me here to Fresno.
I think people listening are like, change of scenery from Hawaii? What are you talking about, man? What's going on here? But happy to have you with the program. Oscar, just talk about these two young men, what you expect from them this year, and how do you see them fitting in the program?
Yeah, no, these are unbelievable young men. So I'll start with Chris Clement. Chris has kind of been a jack of all trades from the moment he got here. So he came as a shortstop, third baseman type, even second base. And man, you've almost played every position, actually. He pitched a little bit in the beginning, too.
I think catcher's the only one.
And, catcher, yeah.
You got to get him in this year. Yeah, let's go.
I know. I actually thought about it. Garrett Cooper, a few years back, we were actually going to do that. There was a game at the end. We were like, I'm going to play you every position. And then he ended up being pitcher of the year that year. And I was like, no, Garrett, we're not doing it. But, Chris is going to be an outfielder for us this year, but such a luxury to have Chris in that if somebody gets hurt, dinged up, shoot, it happened just in our inner squad Saturday, our first baseman had a tight hamstring and I didn't want to risk it. So just with no practice, just threw him over to first base, Chris, and he played kind of gold glove first base over there, and he's good at it. And offensively, he's taken a major step forward this year. He's always been a solid to good hitter for sure, but this year it's taken a step forward. He's starting to drive the ball. He's always made good contact, but he's just splitting gaps, hitting home runs too a little bit without sacrificing contact. So expecting really big things for Chris. And then TJ, we were so thrilled to get him out of the portal because he's being humble, but you know, we were fighting off Division Ones, and really, I know that there was some unit things that prevented him from going to some schools whose names we all know. But in his heart, he was always Fresno Pacific. So we got him, thankfully, and just like you attested, he's a Gold Glove shortstop, made an unbelievable play in Hawaii last year, and it cost him a little bit of his shoulder. But he's one of our best players for sure. He's going to go to second base this year. And anything you ask TJ to do offensively, he can do. He can drive the ball. He can hit behind runners. He can put the bunt down, two-strike hitting. And with both of these guys, but like TJ's in particular, just one of those lineup luxuries because he spent his career at Hawaii Pacific at the top of the order. But I found last year he was such a good RBI guy, it was better for us, at least for a little bit, to put him more in the middle of the lineup. So, you know, it's just the versatility these guys give us and the leadership. I don't know, very blessed, Paul.
TJ, when you hear those words from Coach, right, and leadership and, you know, fighting off D1 programs to land you, how does that make you feel, man? You get you ramped up for the season, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm so excited to get the blessing to even get this year back after how it ended last year and how things played out. I'm excited to be with the young group of guys, and the new guys are just really thrilling and happy to be there finally. And it's just, I'm excited for the season.
Can't wait for those RBI opportunities like Coach is talking about, man.
Oh, yeah.
You licking your chops at that?
Love hitting with runners on.
Talk about moving from shortstop, right, to second base, right? Like, guys, hey, when you're a middle fielder, right, you're a middle fielder, right? The angles, right? Talk about the angles and how you're going to have to adjust to that.
Yeah, I would say it's definitely different just because at short, you're like, you feel like the superstar, you know, at second base, you kind of feel like Robin,
right?
You feel like Robin to Batman, which is, it's a fun transition for me because the shortstop now is one of my best friends growing up. I've known him since I was 8 years old. He's played in my dad's organization. So I think the angles and stuff is something that I've been working on. So it's been good. We plan on turning a lot of double plays for the team this year. I can tell you that.
Awesome. Chris, so coach was talking about you're a jack of all trades, play a little first base. Do you even own a first base glove or you have to borrow one?
I do now. Yeah.
You do now?
Yeah.
All right. Do you have a favorite position to play? Do you have a preference at all?
I mean, growing up, I was a shortstop my whole life. I would say that's my favorite position to play, but honestly, I'm starting to become more fond of the outfield. It's just seeing a fly ball and going to get it. It's a different type of feeling.
Coach, how do you feel about that? Like, can chase down anything.
He really can. And both these guys are humble, but I'm going to brag them up a little bit. Chris has a fantastic arm. And so in the outfield, we can put him at any of the spots and just the carry he gets and the accuracy, but he gets rid of it like a middle infielder still. So, you know, a lot of outfielders, one of their flaws is even when they have a strong arm, it takes them 2-3 steps to get rid of it. But Chris is very unique in that way. And then TJ, he mentioned that he went to Sac State. He went to Sac State as a pitcher. That's how good of an arm he had and pitchability. And I've seen TJ since he was a little guy because his dad, he mentioned his dad has his own baseball organization, but he does. He has his own, I don't know,
the academy.
Academy is the best way to say it. All different age groups. And I remember seeing TJ when he was a young guy, and he's just leadership qualities even back then. And then just the ability to move around. So he's being humble about second base. He took to second base like it was, like he's played it his whole life. And I think that comes with just being a baseball guy and growing up in a baseball family. Not that Chris didn't, but like when you're at an academy and a facility from the time you could probably walk, it just you can tell.
You miss getting up on the mound?
Sometimes, you know, I feel like in this competitiveness of me, like sometimes I always think, man, I could get that guy. But realistically, I leave it for our pitchers. They stick to their job and I stick to the hidden infield and for them.
Do sometimes, right? I mean, that's probably hard for you. Like you mentioned, right? You get a little bit of an itch, but do like the pitchers only, like if they got in the batter's box, right? Like how would that look? Let's be honest here. Don't throw your guys under the bus necessarily, but like, right? Like the difference between the two.
Yeah, I think like I said, we respect each other in both aspects. Sure. Like if we were to get up there and pitch, it probably wouldn't be so nice. But if they got in there and hit, it'd probably be worse than us getting up there and pitching, I like to say.
Fair point. Chris, you got a favorite Major League Baseball player? You got a comp?
Player? I'm a Tatis fan. And just like how he was, you know, was a shortstop coming into the league and then got moved to the outfield. So that's my favorite player right there.
Well, yeah, people were like down on him. We're like, how's a shortstop going to transfer to right field? What's it going to look like? Yeah. Dude goes out and wins a gold glove and does some crazy things out there. TJ, what about for you?
Right now in the MLB, I'm a big Machado fan just because he's just consistent every year. He can hit, just flat out hits. But all time, I'm a Robinson Cano fan, which is good that I'm moving over to second base and trying – mimic some of the things he can do. So
a little bit of old school, right? Cano, yeah. Right? I mean, yeah. He hasn't been in the league for a while, but that's a name that still resonates. Yeah. The guy could rake, right? Left-handed hitter. Coach, let's get a little bit more about the season before bringing the other guys on for a little wrap-up. Like, competition-wise, like, I think you guys were picked ninth in the Pac West. However, like, who are some teams that, like, you're jazzed to play, like, can't wait to compete against?
Well, the coach answer is they're every weekend's the same in the World Series. And I always, you know, like I ask the guys who we're playing every week, and the answer is the game. We're playing the game, right? Because it doesn't really matter. And as for the coaches' poll, we're using that as motivation. But I've told the guys, they don't know. When we vote, the knowledge and information that is basically non-existent about our team, which we like it that way. But Point Loma and Westmont were at the top of the conference. So, you know, you're always circling that date and or those dates. And you know, Hawaii Pacific is going to be a big series because they were a really, really good team last year, and they finished ahead of us. And it's a really good league, and it's deep. And I think that's one of the messages that I'm trying to get across to the guys that are new. All the returners, they understand it. But every team we play can beat anybody in our league. And so and I think if you respect the game and you respect the opponent, you show up with the right mentality. And we know where they have to throw it as hitters. They have to throw it over the plate. And our pitchers know what they have to do. They have to attack the strike zone, and we have to play catch behind them. And if we do that with this team, I think we have a chance to be great. I really do.
Sounds like you got some good ball players. Let's wave on the other guys. There might be playing foosball over there in the back, but I know we got some questions here. Zach is in the house. For the last couple of weeks, he's done a great job asking questions to the student athletes here at Fresno Pacific University. And yeah, I hear they're coming in. All right, Zach, you ready to go for it? You got some questions for these guys? All right, so we're going to do a little bit of a rapid fire. These are questions from other student athletes. I think we got a little bit of a humor twist in some of these questions. So I don't know. I don't know what to expect from these guys. So we'll just do the old lean in. We'll hear from Zach. The questions will come through, and you guys can lean in and just use whatever microphone is the closest. All right, Zach, take it away.
Thank you. So for our first question, it's for Coach. Do you have any sort of team motto?
It's probably the closest thing we have.
Okay, cool. Thank you. This next one's going to be for the entire group. Someone chime in. Has Coach Kent Murphy or Domingo Ayala have any effect on how you guys play today?
I'd say negative. No, they don't.
No? Perfect. Next one's going to be for TJ. If you were a pitcher, who on the team do you think you could K?
Everybody, yeah, for sure. But mainly, I think Aaron. Aaron would be my guy.
Perfect. Next one's for Daryl. Aside from what Coach wants, play at home plate, do you hit the cutoff?
No.
through the cut.
Through the cut.
Airing it out.
Perfect. For Chris, go-to walk-up song.
I'm going to go with Never Recover by Gunna, Drake, and Lil Baby.
Fire choice. And then lastly for Aaron, who on the team could you beat in MLB The Show?
Oh, I don't really play a lot of video games, but I'd say probably Gavin Ince. For sure.
Cool. Well, thank you guys. So what's coming up for the Sunbirds? The men and women's basketball will continue their stretch of road games by heading down to La Miranda, taking on the Biola Eagles on Thursday, continuing on to San Diego to take on the Sea Lions of Point Loma on Saturday. Friday, men and women swim will travel down to Isla Vista for the UC Santa Barbara Invitational. Women's water polo will head to Thousand Oaks for a doubleheader against Cal State Northridge, followed by Cal Lutheran. Finally, some season openers. Baseball, as you heard, will play at Cal State Dominguez Hills with doubleheaders Friday and Saturday. When we go on the air next week, Stunt will open their season down in Irvine against both Northwest Nazarene and Concordia Irvine. It will be the inaugural season and birth of a brand new athletic program at FPU. Lots of exciting stuff. Anyways, back to you, Paul.
All right, we got a couple bonus minutes here with the Fresno Pacific University baseball team. All right, let's continue with that, right? So we're talking about the field and the upgrades, and we talked a little bit about BP. Who takes the best BP out there on the team? Like, who puts on a show? Anybody have some light tower power? What do we got here?
I'd say Titus Willock. He could hit the ball pretty far, and it gets fun once he starts, like, getting a rhythm, hitting him out.
Is he's one of those guys that could put out, like, what, 5, 6, 7 out in a row?
Yeah, like whenever he wants. Yeah. Yes, for sure.
What does the ballpark play like? So we got 330 down the line. What are we out here, Oscar?
It's 330 down left field line, 325 to right. I think the gaps are pretty big. It's like 385 in the gaps, but 390 in center. But I think ever since the stadium has come in, it started to play smaller, which is kind of unbelievable because when we first got that field, it played big. And now, you know, driving the ball is a really a big part of what our offense has to be. So, yeah, you know, I think Titus is a good call. When he gets rolling, it's pretty special.
All right, I got another minute here. What BP, let's continue with that. You guys are you out there shagging as well? Are you guys trying to rob each other?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Talk about that. Yeah. Talk about trying to take stuff away. I know, Daryl, you've done it in the game.
Yeah, I mean, for our outfielders, we try to rob everybody, but I think the pitchers have the most fun with it. You know, they play their own little games and seeing who can catch the most fly balls and everything. So even sometimes we end up competing with them, but even then, it's just fun. We got the music playing, and then we just go and get it.
All right, good stuff. Hey, thank you guys for coming on, man. Can't wait to watch you guys play this season. I'm sure you guys are just as anxious to get on there and show what you guys can do. Thanks, Oscar, as always. Love running into you out on the, you know, in the basketball courts or baseball fields, but looking forward to watching you guys compete this year as well.
Thanks so much, Paul. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys. Hey, and that is a wrap. Thank you guys for listening. This has been the Sunbird Sports Show on 790 ESPN.